The following is a closed-circuit advisory and not for broadcast. Newscast 2047 is an expanded edition of Amateur Radio Newsline containing a tribute to Charlie Emerson, N4OKL of the Huntsville Hamfest, who has become a silent key. This newscast has three segments, and there are two breaks for identification. And now, coming up is this week's report. Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2047, with a release date of Friday, January 20th, 2017, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Congress gets a new Amateur Radio Parity Act. There are new efforts to save an imperiled New York repeater. And we devote a special segment to Huntsville's Charlie Emerson, N4OKL, Silent Key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2047 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with a late development on the fate of an imperiled Long Island, New York repeater. Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, has an update.
A dialogue has begun between Delaware North, the new owner of the hotel that is home to two Long Island repeaters, and John Melfi, W2HCB, the emergency coordinator for the nearby suburban town of Babylon. Both sides are hoping to resolve the issue and prevent the repeater's eviction. The parties are now in the process of drafting a memorandum of understanding in the hopes of keeping the threatened repeaters where they are. Nothing has been resolved yet, however, and we will continue to follow this story. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
There's also big news on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers on Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Hill are calling it H.R. 555, but hams also know it as the Amateur Radio Parity Act. The measure was reintroduced on Friday, January 13th, into the 115th Congress, where it is sponsored by Congressman Adam Kinzinger, an Illinois Republican. His co-sponsors are Congressman Joe Courtney, a Connecticut Democrat, and Congressman Greg Walden, W7EQI, a Republican from Oregon. Walden is also chairman of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, where the new bill is headed. It will first get consideration in the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology. The Act directs the Federal Communications Commission to prohibit the application of deed restrictions that ban amateur radio operations. Hams are hoping Walden's outspoken support of the bill's previous version will help it gain traction again. On a marshy section of New Jersey coastline known as Good Luck Point, the final bits of radio history are about to disappear. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Luck has finally run out for the coastal New Jersey site, Good Luck Point. It was home to Ocean Gate Radio, the Atlantic Coast hub for the high seas shortwave service of American Telephone and Telegraph. The service provided phone communications to ships at sea and used the call sign WOO. Now, the federal government wants the site cleared. Beginning in the early 1930s, it was home to a transmitter station providing vital links between the shore and U.S. ships. Its operation allowed mariners to make telephone calls simply by contacting the AT&T marine operator. This was, of course, right up to the dawn of cellular phone service. The transmitter worked with a receiver about 15 miles south on the Salt Marsh, and both were a part of AT&T's National Long Lines system. The stations provided single sideband radio telephone service until AT&T halted that practice in 1999. The New Jersey sites eventually were abandoned, and Good Luck Point was bought in 2003 by a nonprofit trust for donation to the Edward B. Forsyth National Wildlife Refuge. The refuge, which suffered major damage during Superstorm Sandy in 2012, is now being cleaned up and cleared out. That cleanup includes 500 antennas and poles. Some poles, however, will remain on long after evidence of radioactivity is gone. They'll be used as platforms to support nests for osprey, which are federally protected. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Hams in the Republic of South Africa are focusing attention on the VHF and UHF bands, and maybe a little camping out, too. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Think of it as 44 hours of long-distance contacts, setting records and following changes in propagation on the VHF and UHF bands. It's the Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society's annual VHF and UHF contest, where the ultimate goal is to stimulate activity on these bands, whether in digital or analog mode. Because both 22-hour sessions are designed to reflect changing propagation, operators are advised to watch for tropo ducting or meteor scatter in the mornings or night on 2 and 6 metres, and to be mindful of aircraft scatter, sporadic E, and rover stations during the day. The competition heats up on Friday, January 20, and ends on Sunday, January 22nd. According to the Port Elizabeth organisers, the contest is also a great opportunity to do some camping and set up field stations. If you are a licensed amateur in the Republic of South Africa or any neighbouring states, this competition is for you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
More countries are joining the roster of nations enjoying 60-meter privileges, as we learn from Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
The world community of amateurs transmitting on 60 meters just expanded again by two more nations. Slovenia's telecommunications regulator has approved use of the band in that nation, beginning with a temporary 3-month license. That license extends from January 11th through April 11th and covers 5351.5 kHz to 5366.5 kHz with a 15-watt EIRP. Meanwhile, Niger's telecommunications regulator has approved the use of 60 metres there, just in time for the upcoming 5U5RD expedition to Niger in March. Their operation, which will cover CW and SSB, is expected to be around 5360 kHz. Slovenia and Niger join Kazakhstan, which also recently gained access to the band. The United States has no widespread 60-meter privileges beyond 5 frequency channels on upper sideband, with each channel having a bandwidth of 2.8 kHz. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Ham radio response was strong and swift when severe weather struck in the county of Essex in the UK recently. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The radio amateurs of Essex Raynet have a lot to be proud of, as rain, winds and flooding bore down on the UK county recently. Hams were placed on standby on Thursday the 12th of January as the weather intensified. By the early morning of Friday the 13th, with high tides approaching, area evacuations had begun and the hams were put into action. Essex Raynet established a control station at the Tendring District Council's Emergency Response Centre and made use of crossband repeaters. The repeaters aided with local coverage and functioned on a countywide level for members en route to give assistance. Essex Raynet also deployed a team to the Emergency Rest Centre at the Tendring Education Centre and another to the Frobisher School to assist with the evacuations. At one point, the hams, along with other volunteers and council officials, had been active for 24 hours as evacuations continued throughout the evening of Friday the 13th of January. By Saturday morning, however, risks had greatly diminished and residents were able to return home, and the Raynet hams were stood down. They headed home, some having logged more than 40 hours of service. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including WW7SEA, the Columbia Center repeater in Seattle, Washington, at 444.550 MHz on Mondays at 9 p.m. local time. If you're feeling nostalgic for the good old days, even if you're too young to remember them, this next story from Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, is for you.
Let me take you back to a thrilling time of yesteryear when chirpy rigs and sloppy code could be regularly heard coming from novice CW stations.
Back in the old days of the novice license, you would hear guys running these rigs, which were crystal controlled. Quite often there would be a little bit of chirp on the signal. It might even drift around a little bit or have some kind of a buzz or a splutter to it and would sound quite different from the typical store-bought rig that you would have today.
That's Bry Carling, AF4K, who is organizing the Novice Rig Roundup. He says it will be 9 days of fun operating with old-fashioned radio equipment from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, including names like Drake, Hallicrafters, Hammerland & Heath, Homebrew, and QRP rigs.
So we're going to be recapturing some of that nostalgic feeling that a lot of licensees had back when they were teenagers in the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s and operated these old rigs, because a lot of them still have them and they can put them on the air and have fun with them.
And there are a few calls to really listen for.
There are a few guys that still have their original novice call sign, in which case those folks will be attracting a lot of attention.
Just call CQNRR. That's what you'll be hearing all up and down 40, 80, 15, and 10 meters, usually operating in the higher end of the CW subbands.
They'll be exchanging the usual information, RST, power level, what they're running, etc. It's a little bit more casual than your typical contest.
Maybe even some sloppy code?
You will hear some sloppy code, but you'll hear some good code, too. We run the gamut from people that are just now getting back into CW or just now learning CW to folks who are experienced A1 operators.
So dust off that old CW rig and get on the air starting at 0100 hours on February 18th through 2359 hours on February 26th for 9 full days of the Novice Rig Roundup. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The roundup ends with a random prize drawing among hams who record 10 or more confirmed QSOs using the NRR logging program. The prize? Winner's choice of a Camelback straight key or a bug from VizKey. In late December, Amateur Radio Newsline reported about updates being made to Scouting's radio merit badge. We've just gotten in a few more details, which Newsline's Joe Mell, K0OV, shares with us now. Joe is also ARRL's Amateur Radio Direction Finding Coordinator.
It started as the Wireless Merit Badge in 1918 and has become one of the most popular scouting achievements. About 7,000 scouts qualify for the Radio Merit Badge each year. The newest badge requirements list includes an option for Amateur Radio Direction Finding, or ARDF. Scouts are encouraged to build a simple direction-finding antenna and to participate in an on-foot radio fox hunt on the 2-meter or 80-meter band. In addition, the radio broadcasting section now includes internet streaming, and cellular telephone topics have been added. The updates were authored by Jim Wilson, K5ND, who is former Director of Communication Services at the Boy Scouts of America and is the current president of the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association. Jim decided to add ARDF after his experience at USA's ARDF Championships last April. The new section was then reviewed by leading members of Ham Radio's ARDF community. The new Radio Merit Badge will be offered during the National Scout Jamboree in West Virginia during July, where a complete ARDF course will be set up and equipment will be available. If you're a fan of hidden transmitter hunting, get together with scout leaders in your community to help them give the ARDF experience to scouts and to offer the new Radio Merit Badge. More information about the badge update is available at k2bsa.org. That's Kilo 2 Bravo Sierra Alpha.org. Information about ARDF, including simple antennas and how to set up fox hunting courses, is at www.homingin.com. That's homingin, as one word, homingin.com. From Southern California, where ARDF is a part of Jamboree on the Air every year, this is Joe Mell, K0 Oscar Victor, for Amateur Radio Newsline.
There's nothing like classic American cowboy fiction, except perhaps a ham radio event honoring one of the genre's masters. For those details, we turn to Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
When it comes to classic fiction, you can't get drama more Western than Zane Grey. The master novelist brought the romance of American cowboy life to generations of readers as he spun his novels, 26 of which are set at least partly in Arizona. Perhaps his most famous is Riders of the Purple Sage, published in 1912. A different kind of Western drama will unfold starting January 28 inside the now historic Zane Grey Cabin, where he lived and wrote in Payson, Arizona. Members of the Tonto Amateur Radio Association will be on the HF bands as special event station K7Z, marking the novelist's birthday. Hams will operate from the cabin itself on Saturday, January 28th and Tuesday, January 31st, as well as their own QTHs. Event organizer Bruce Spurka, AD7MM, said that his wife Marilyn, KI7DLK, is a volunteer at the Rim County Museum next door to the cabin, and the museum agreed to co-sponsor the event. He said it was a natural to incorporate January 31st, the author's birthday, into the activity, and that Bruce Johnson, N7DDT, president of the Ham Club, was excited that the event could also raise radio's public profile. Despite temperatures inside the cabin expected to reach as low as 30 degrees Fahrenheit this time of year, the club is prepared to give a warm welcome to visitors. Who knows? What they see and hear may feel a little like the same kind of high adventure of a Zane Grey cowboy novel. Radio style, partner. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Happy Australia Day. Well, almost. Hams down under are in for a good time, and Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has details.
So you think you know all your friends' call signs? Guess again. On Thursday, the 26th of January, Australia Day, all we Aussie radio amateurs get to substitute our normal VK call sign prefix with the letters AX. All of a sudden, ham radio operators down under will find that we're more popular than ever, since contacting an AX call sign is a big deal for many operators who are also prefix collectors. The prefix privilege is being granted automatically by the ACMA following negotiations with the Wireless Institute of Australia. Of course, there is another reason Australia Day is so special, and it has nothing to do with call signs. The occasion commemorates the first fleet's arrival at Sydney Cove in 1788, and the creation of a European settlement at Port Jackson. Expect to see national flags, and be sure to cover your ears if you don't like fireworks. There'll be plenty of that kind of QRM too. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB, soon to be AX4BB.
On a personal note, in Australia, we'd like to congratulate the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club, located just north of Sydney in Australia, on the anniversary in 2017 of their 60th year of operation, and wish them success with their Hamfest on February 26th at Wyong Racecourse, which remains the largest gathering of radio hams in the Southern Hemisphere. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7MRG repeater in Prescott, Arizona, on Tuesday evenings. This special third segment of our report is devoted to remembering Charlie Emerson, N4OKL, a prime mover behind the Huntsville Hamfest. We hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, and Neil Rapp, WB9VPG. First, Neil.
The board members of the Huntsville Hamfest Association have announced that Charlie Emerson, N4OKL, became a silent key on January 14, 2017, due to an apparent heart attack. Charlie was the current president of the Huntsville Hamfest Association, a position he had held for many years. Under Charlie's leadership, the Huntsville Hamfest maintained its growth and position in the amateur radio industry as one of the top hamfest organizations in the nation. Charlie was the face of the Huntsville Hamfest among amateur radio equipment manufacturers, dealers, and attending ham radio operators. Charlie will be remembered as always laughing, telling jokes, and acting as peacemaker whenever necessary, all part of making the Hamfest known as the world's friendliest hamfest. Huntsville Hamfest was Charlie's pride and joy, and he never missed an opportunity to promote the show or ham radio as a hobby. He was always anxious to support organizations in the development of young hams in areas of science and technology through ham radio, such as our Bill Pasternak Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Huntsville Hamfest Association board member Art Davis, N4UC, recalls how Charlie started volunteering as a relatively new ham, which soon led to organizing the event, and how he handled a long-standing group of engineers and scientists that made up the team.
A hamfest this size is it's a pretty big job. Charlie just took to it and took it by the horns, and we've done well. You know, we're fortunate to have him when he came on board.
One of the frequent vendors at the Hamfest, Scott Cole, KB9 AMM from Tower Electronics, saw Charlie's leadership potential from the beginning.
I wasn't surprised when he ended up taking over the chairmanship because he has the right chutzpah to do exactly that. He was great in organizing things. He was great in figuring out problems and overcoming things, and he wasn't afraid to go head over heels into something right off the bat.
And Scott also remembers Charlie going the extra mile.
I remember another time a year or so ago when we got to Huntsville and we had brake problems on one of our vehicles and were kind of stranded, and we thought, let's give Charlie a try once. So we had gotten a hold of him and he showed up and was able to get us back where our motorhome was sitting so we weren't stranded. He was just that kind of guy. Great in ham radio, real knowledgeable, very, very pleasurable, and a great lover of blues music.
Charlie Emerson, N4OKL, was 71. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG. Now with continuing coverage of this story, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Thanks, Neil. The Huntsville Hamfest and Amateur Radio Newsline share a long history. Since the early 90s, it's been the home of our Young Ham of the Year Award presentation. There was no bigger cheerleader for that than Charlie Emerson. He was a tireless promoter of amateur radio in general, and the Huntsville Hamfest in particular. If you knew Charlie, you had a friend for life. Ted Randall, WB8PUM, has been bringing his QSO radio show and WTWW shortwave to the Huntsville Hamfest for years. And as Ted says here from Tuesday night's QSO show broadcast, it's all because of Charlie Emerson.
My introduction was the first one that we did. Charlie called me and he said, you know, you guys broadcast that Dayton Hamvention. He said, would you consider coming and doing ours? I said, well, absolutely. So Dayton came around, and here come Charlie over to our booth and sat down and started talking. And next thing you know, he was telling us all about the Huntsville Hamfest and everything. Well, you know, he said it was the friendliest hamfest. Well, our first one, and David can tell you, we pulled up, and there must have been three or four guys come mm-hmm. out the door. Can we help you? Can we carry something in for you? You know, and they were there. I mean, they showed up with like dollies outside. I mean, this was just greeting the people coming in that had, you know, there were vendors there. And
I've gone to plenty of trade shows, you know, and I have never seen anything like that. You know, so I mean, it was really nice having everybody coming. I mean, I want to say they came in a swarm, but, you know, I mean, they were there.
When you're greeted with that kind of thing, it changes the whole attitude and feel as to how you feel about the Hamfest or even feeling about doing a broadcast somewhere. He said, I go to all these different Hamfests, he says, because I want to see what they're doing. And he said, I want to make, if there's some way I can make Huntsville just a little bit better, I'm looking for ideas. And I thought that was very unique because I can't think of anybody that sends out Hamfest scouts or somebody that goes out looking, thinking, well, what are they doing here? Are they, you know, looking for what's being done right and ideas that he could use at Huntsville for something to help improve the Huntsville Hamfest. I mean, he was really, really bent on that because, you know, he sat and talked to me about it for quite some time. You know, and he also said, you know, whenever you think you got it, almost like as if whenever you think, you know, you've made it or you've reached it or you've achieved it or whatever, he said that whenever you start thinking like that, it's no good. So that was cool. The other thing was, is that he started with us. You know, he started early. Excuse me. He started early with phone calls and reminders. Are y'all coming this year? Y'all going to be here? You know, and he just, you know, literally, and of course we wouldn't miss it for the world, you know, but he would make it to where you really felt like you were needed. You really needed to be there. That was really cool. Now, it was interesting. I'd be in Huntsville, and I don't know why it was, but for some reason, we would always wind up passing Charlie in traffic. And he'd be in that pickup truck, and you would look over, and you'd see, I would think, is that Charlie Emerson? And I'd look, and there'd be that call plate, N4OKL staring at you, you know. And, of course, then we'd catch up with him and blow the horn, and he'd always turn over and smile really big, you know, and wave at you. The other thing was, is he always pushed to me. Now, this is interesting. Because of Bill Pasternak, I always had a big interest in the Young Ham of the Year Award and whatnot and all the things that you guys do. But Charlie would come over and say, now, you know, we're going to have the Young Ham of the Year Award. And, I mean, he would just push it like crazy. Now, y'all are going to carry this over the radio, aren't you? And he'd... Well, you know, we're going to have to make sure that that Young Ham of the Year comes over here and talks to you guys on the air. So he was real, that was the other, and that's missing. I mean, we go, and I'm not complaining, but we go to other ham fests and all the people who are the winners and whatnot. If we don't hunt them down, we would never see them. We would never talk to them because the press people involved or the folks that are running it, they're so caught up in the mayhem of running a ham fest that we're the last thing on their mind, you know, which I can understand. I mean, I really can. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying. But Charlie, no. Top of mind. Let's get that Young Ham of the Year over and make sure that he gets on the radio or make sure she gets on the radio. And that's just totally commendable to understand that to those young people, the press is important to them. At least they feel that makes them feel important, makes them feel significant. And then it also opens the door because I have no idea how many people, who, what, where, and how, is listening to the broadcast that we do from there. So you don't know what kind of door it could open.
Despite this great loss, the Huntsville Hamfest Board remains dedicated to continuing the tradition of service to the amateur radio community by opening its doors, as usual, on the third weekend of August. They look forward to honoring Charlie's memory at the 2017 Huntsville Hamfest. And we look forward to sharing our memories and love for Charlie with them. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Essex Raynet, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Huntsville Hamfest Association, Joe Mel, K0OV, John Melfi, W2HCB, K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Tonto Amateur Radio Association, the Wireless Institute of Australia, Workboat.com, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.